It was great. Had a great conversation, a good sized crowd. And, you know, folks are concerned about what's happening in Washington, as well they should be. The proposals that we've largely been successful in fighting against, but they keep coming back. You know, the so-called Build Back Better, you know, was suggested a few months ago that the bill wasn't dead. It was just hibernating. Well, it's trying to come out of hibernation now. Mm-hmm. And I think the American people are going to say no thanks.
Can I ask what were some of the you kind of mentioned, touched on a little bit, what were some of the questions, other concerns I guess they had?
The overall role of the government. You know, there's concerns about this worldwide minimum corporate tax, for example, that, you know, folks are concerned that other countries would be effectively setting our tax policy. I'm concerned that it would reduce competition. And competition is good. Let's make sure that we have as much flexibility and agility as possible to make sure that we have a growing, thriving economy with more opportunity. So to outsource our tax policy to other countries is a bad idea.
Read your column on getting back on track, and I just heard something on our AM airwaves this morning about the economy and back to school and how they were – in fact, it was Bill O'Reilly was talking about it. We have him for 15-minute segment in the morning, every morning, but talking about how all the stuff that's up and for what you do buy, you're not getting as much product. And that has a lot to do with what your column says is you know, it's tough pickings these days, isn't it?
Right. And, you know, the supply chain shortages lead to higher prices, but then some products are just simply not available at any price. Now, that complicates our economic situation very much. And, you know, the president, I think, is very dismissive of the realities here. And they try to explain away, you know, try to say, well, it's just temporary. No, it's not temporary. This is here. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with it. He's removed work requirements from federal benefits everywhere he can. That has hurt us, too, in terms of getting people back into the workforce, filling these job vacancies that are everywhere, public sector, private sector, small communities, urban areas, you name it. It's these shortages are everywhere, and it's really opportunity. Let's make sure we've got the policies in place that help folks seize that opportunity.
I guess one good thing is with the gas prices are starting to go down. I guess that's a plus, huh?
Yeah, that's a plus. And Joe Biden wants to take all the credit. Even though he didn't want any of the blame when it went up, he wants to take the credit for it going down, even though it's market forces that you know, I'm told that reduced demand is leading to the lower prices. The folks, I think, are so shocked by the higher gas prices that they're changing their own behaviors. That's a rational thing. But we need to develop more of our domestic sources of petroleum. We know we can do that very cleanly in comparison to our economic competitors like China and India. We know that we can actually bring good opportunity, economic opportunity to some rural parts of America. Who would have thought a few years back that North Dakota would become such an energy center? But we've got new technologies that can help us develop these sources of energy in a clean way, in an available way, affordable way, and that we can protect the environment at the same time. That's a win-win. So some folks, though, they think even though it's clean, it's just not appropriate. And so they want to use the heavy hand of the federal government with the assistance of Joe Biden to say no. And yet we need to step up and say, let's be innovative about this and accommodate some great opportunities here on the home front.
Would you ever imagine in your years that you would have an issue on and discuss an infant formula? Ever?
No. No, we're a developed country. We are the most developed country in the world. And the fact that government regulations led to empty shelves, that's supposed to only happen in the Soviet Union and Russia. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't have happened here. And I think, you know, moving forward, of course, I've done a lot of work on this, led the bill to relieve the tariff, at least to relieve some stress there on the cost. But we've got more work to do to make sure that these regulations that are in place for safety purposes, of course we don't want to have tainted formula on the market. But we need to have plans, contingency plans, for when a major producer is shut down. We need to make sure we've got alternative sources and that families wouldn't be left. I mean, that's scary stuff. We have a little one. And we dodge that by maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it just I can't even imagine having to deal with that, knowing what the realities are. And so I think it was avoidable. You know, the administration knew that this was going to be a problem long before they tried to address it. So we're left having legislatively to react, but we need to do more than react. We need to plan for the future so that something like this doesn't happen again.
I know you're still – some different stories I read on your Facebook page as well on healthcare, rural healthcare, really diving into that as well, aren't you?
Right. Telehealth is so important. One of my bills I would propose that there would be telehealth available to rural nursing centers, actually rural or urban. We know that telehealth is important now in even urban areas given the pandemic. But to allow nursing homes to – have virtual emergency rooms, because we know that very fragile patients, there aren't very good outcomes when they're put on an ambulance and transported a distance. But with a connection, a telehealth connection, you can have experts basically available, cross-train some local nursing home employees as EMTs or paramedics, be able to offer more, save money, better outcomes, save taxpayer dollars as well.
I noticed, again, up in the Panhandle, it's good. No matter where you go across the state, especially here in western Nebraska, seeing construction work, you're seeing things, you know, hospitals being built or improving. You're seeing a lot of this. In tough times now, you're still seeing a lot of this, aren't you?
Right. You know, communities are really stepping up amidst some struggles. We've had, you know, the fires of southwest Nebraska not so long ago. In the last few days, we've had fires out in the Panhandle. Very, very concerning, but communities are coming together and it's very impressive. Kimball, Nebraska, for example, is getting a new hospital. Got to visit that site here this week. When we're not in session in Washington, I'm somewhere around the 80 counties of the 3rd District, and some good things happening even amidst our challenges.
What's the schedule like now for you? We're in the early part of August into September. What's it, things going to really pick up for you?
Well, more travel around the district, mm-hmm. certainly, and we'll head back to Washington for votes here in a while. And only 3 weeks of session left before we recess for the election. So Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, they're going to try to jam a lot in there, and it makes me a little bit nervous. But we have to do our due diligence, and I tell folks back home, that, you know, I spend an inordinate amount of my time fighting the bad stuff. So advocating for the good stuff, which we still need to do, is all too often overshadowed by fighting the bad stuff. But I think, you know, when you look, and you know, I was glad to be a part of tax reform in 2017, that it was great for our economy. We were able to reduce taxes, especially for the middle class, and see an increase in revenues to the government. That's what opportunity is about, where we've got a broader base tax at a lower rate that can generate more investment because there's available capital. Available capital does great things in an economy. And, you know, Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer now, they want to raise taxes. In fact, some of it, they know that they won't even raise that much, but it's symbolic. And There's way too many agendas like this in Washington, especially at the Department of the Treasury, where there's basically a social agenda within a fiscal agenda. And that makes me nervous because I'm afraid it's going to put our country deeper in debt with less opportunity. And so we're fighting that, but I'm glad to say that, you know, there's a private sector here that is scratching and clawing its way, mm-hmm. hopefully, into prosperity. Prosperity is very important. In fact, our tax code relies very heavily on it, although you'd never know that by some of the criticism in Washington as it relates to prosperity.